this morning we talked about the correlation between sacrifice and glory. If we're honest, and if our heart's really where it should be, we should seek the glory of God. How many would agree with me that we need the glory of God in our lives?
Amen.
But there is a process to receiving the glory of God. It's not an event. It's not a one-time deal. It's not a several-time deal where you go to some meeting and you get some goosebumps, or maybe you do get blessed, or you go up and get prayed for and they lay hands on you. How many know that that's just not enough? God is continually working in us. It's a process that He's bringing us through to bring us into position that for His grace to be poured into our lives in greater measure. I believe God wants to give us a greater weight of glory. Amen?
Amen.
But it comes through a process. And that process requires, even as a New Testament believer, a follower of Jesus in the New Covenant, it requires sacrifice. Now we see in the Old Testament, we see the patterns where there was sacrifices that were offered to God. When Solomon had, built the temple, and it says that they had offered sacrifices in 1 Kings 8. Without measure, it was just an incredible amount of offerings that were brought, blood sacrifices even to God, in honor to His name. And it was something that obviously had to cost a lot. But I want you to hear this. God is in the sacrifice. God is in the sacrifice. And when we are willing to sacrifice for God, He takes notice. Now, I know that the thought comes that, well, didn't Jesus, pay the price for our sins? Yes, He did. We're not talking about our salvation tonight, as important as that is, but it goes beyond the cross, folks. The cross is the entry point. The cross is the way into this covenant in His blood, into this new life. But Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the power on high. And so there is a connection between sacrifices, as they had offered sacrifices at the dedication of the temple without measure. There were thousands of offerings brought to God. That immediately following this great offering, and as they came and they worshiped the Lord also, they lifted up their voices to God as they begin to praise Him and the beauty of holiness, and that the Bible says the glory, the Shekinah glory, the glory of God descended upon, amen, the temple. God's glory came to the holy place, and yet not just the holy place, but it overshadowed the entire temple area to the degree that those priests who were there could no longer minister because of the weight of the glory. They were completely blasted in the spirit. But it required a sacrifice. Are you hearing me? There's a connection between sacrifice and the glory of God. You see, we want the glory of God, but we don't want to pay the price for it. We want instant results. We want things now, but we don't want the process to get to that place. Are you with me?
Oh, yes.
God, give me this. God, give me that. He says, okay. It's going to require a conditioning of your character. It's going to require a process in your life to get you into position so that you can be user friendly and so that I can entrust to you the greater glory. Are you with me? The greater riches. And so you're going to start the process. And often it's in the process we say, God, what's going on here? What are you doing to me? He's getting you into position because He wants to give you a greater weight of glory. How many know that God just wants to do you good?
Yep. Amen.
So even if bad things happen to you, he always turns it around for good in the end. Just ask Job. And so in the new covenant, we are to offer unto God sacrifices. Okay, what do these sacrifices look like? Well, these sacrifices will first of all require, according to Romans 12, what? Your body given back to God as an offering to God. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The greatest sacrifice, folks, is the offering, the whole offering of ourselves back to God. Once we have understood the measure of God's love for us, the sacrifice of his love, amen, what he has done for us at Calvary, and the grace, the amazing grace that's made available to us, is it not our reasonable service to say, you know what, if from now on I'm going to offer back myself now to live and serve the one who died for me. I'm going to give him my life. I'm going to return this body, because this body belongs to him, by the way. It's his temple. It's not my own anymore. I used to think it was mine, but it's not. It's his. I want you to know this is the earth suit that God gave you. When Isaiah in chapter 6 was called, he was commissioned. He experienced the worship of God. In heaven, there is a continuous, you know, offering of praise. God inhabits praise, constant praise to God. And so there's a connection between praise and the glory. When you and I are willing to come before God as a New Testament priesthood, with an offering of thanksgiving, with an offering of joy, with an offering of praise, amen, with a song, with a psalm, with a spiritual hymn, amen, a spiritual song. God delights in us as his people, that we want to be with him, that we really want him. And so as we invest, as we give of ourselves in this manner of praise to God, how many have discovered it's really proportionate to the measure that you really give yourself to praise him? It's proportionate. The glory of God is proportionate to really the amount of true sacrifice that you give to God. There's a sacrifice of praise. Now, we can all praise God when the sun is out. Amen. And the birds are singing. And everything is going my way. But God takes note when we come before him with a contrite and broken heart even. And when we're willing to give to him a sacrifice of praise. You know why? Because we're looking beyond our own pitiful condition. And we're seeing the love of our Father. And we look to Jesus, we look to Calvary, we looked at the cross, and we see him hanging there for us. We see what he did, the price that he paid, the sacrifice that he gave on our behalf. And when we think that we're going through it, just take another look at Jesus, amen, at the cross, and remember that it was for you, it was for me that he died. That's how much he loves us. You see, it was his passion that put him on the cross. It was his passion for you. He is so in love with people. God so, you know, John 3:16, you say, well, God so loved. Just stop right there. God so loved the world. Do you hear that? God so loved the world. God is so passionately in love with humanity that he gave up Jesus. Amen. On our behalf. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly. He was passionately in love with us. Passion is what you will sacrifice yourself for. If you are passionate about money, you will, you know, sacrifice yourself to make money. Are you with me? If you esteem the treasures of heaven and the glory of God, and if His presence is being the most valuable thing in your life, then guess what? You will sacrifice yourself, amen, to receive of Him, to encounter Him, to hear Him, to feel Him, to experience Him. If you are truly wanting Him, He will show up where He's wanted. And when we invest and we come and we make an offering together and we begin to praise Jesus and lift Him up, hallelujah, and from our hearts, and not just to sing along and not just to please whoever's up here leading the worship, but we're doing it from our heart because you know what? We want to love on God, and God is loving on us. And because we want Him more than anything else. You see, when you really want Jesus, you're not going to be controlled by the opinions of people around you. The woman with the issue of blood would not be stopped by the opinions of men. You know, she was putting her life at risk to be, you know, in a public place with an issue of blood. And especially as she was crawling her way through the crowds to get to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, you know, perhaps she would be healed. But she was not allowing the opinions of men to stop her from drawing near to God. She had passion. She was willing, are you hearing me? She was willing to even be put to death in hopes that she might touch the robe of Jesus. She was passionate for God. What are you passionate about? Where is your passion in life? You know, people spend themselves on so many things, you know? Some people are connoisseurs of restaurants. I guess I am too sometimes. But some people, their passion in life, are you with me, is just going from restaurant to restaurant and sampling food here. And you got people, they got shows on TV, you know, where they go all over the world and they're eating food. And it's all about, you know, really they're worshiping their belly. Some people just have a passion to travel. They want to go all over the world. They want to see the world and the sights. And you know what? God has made an awesome world. There's a lot of interesting things out there. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. The problem is that often we are spending ourselves on things that are temporary because we have a passion for that thing. But where does our passion really belong? Where should it be? What should be our greatest passion of all? Folks, can I suggest to you that most of the time, Jesus is not our greater passion in the body of Christ. You go to most churches and they're doing their three songs, their little sermonette, and we're getting out of here and we're going to go play. Come on. And we've forgotten how awesome, how wonderful, how glorious, how enjoyable Jesus really is. That I just want to get a hold of Jesus. I just want to touch Jesus tonight. I want to encounter Jesus tonight. Yeah. You see, if our passion, our desire is to really seek God, then everything else will come into order in your life. Everything else will be added to you. The problem is we're seeking in so many different directions. We're seeking this, we're seeking that, and we're not seeking Him above all. How many know that, folks, it's called idolatry? Uh-huh. There's nothing wrong with sports, but for some people, sports is their God. It's more important than the things of God. It's more important than God Himself. Their God is the, you know, the professional athletes. Some people are passionate about music, you know. They get all the albums, all the records. No records anymore, right? All the CDs and used to. But some people, their passion is music. Everything in their life revolves around music. Now, music is a gift from God. Would you agree? It's not a bad thing necessarily. Yeah. But what happens is we are making a God out of the thing that God gives, out of the gift. And we forget about the giver. We say to the Lord, Lord, I want everything You have for me. Has anybody beside myself ever said that to God? God, I want everything You have for me. And you know what God says to that? I want everything You have for me. because it's to the degree or the measure that we're willing to give our lives to Him that He will also return, amen, His glory to us. We sacrifice ourselves in the sense that we give ourselves back to Him. We sacrifice ourselves in the way that we give our future, that we give our plans back to God. We say, Lord, You decide now. We all have ideas. We all have plans. We all have an agenda, you know. There's a lot of people that wander around from church to church with an agenda. You know, they got in there and they want to be this and they want to be that and they want to have this title and they want people to look up to them and say, Rabbi, Rabbi. I was in one church. It was a fairly large church before, but they actually would call you teacher so-and-so and teacher. And everything was a label, you know. And what it does often is people are, it's almost like the military. Well, I want the merit badge, you know, I want the promotion. I want the rank. I want the higher rank so that I will be better than you. Or I'll be great in the kingdom because I have this title now. Well, if I can just be a pastor, then I'll be great in the kingdom. No, you're going to be great because you serve the Lord and because you listen to His voice. If that meant mopping the floor.
Amen.
Amen. Sign me up. Well, good. We got another one. Another volunteer. Hallelujah. But you know, that's the right attitude. We serve. We're willing to do whatever the Lord says. Because it's not about what others perceive. It's what God sees. It's not about keeping up with the Joneses. Sacrifice is required for glory. You know, you've heard it said that we want the crown, but we don't want the cross. We're looking for a quick fix. We're looking for an easy way. But yet Jesus said that wide or easy is the way that leads to destruction. And I believe that also can speak to a believer too. If they get off track, are you with me? And they start listening to the wrong voices, before long you're not even going to realize what's happened. But you can be far away from God. And you know what? You can be far away from God and not even realize it. Others will see it. Others will realize it. But sometimes the hardest person for us to understand is ourselves, or to see is ourselves. We're usually pretty good at pulling the sliver out of our brother's eye, you know. But we have a hard time seeing beyond that plank in our own eye. You've got unrepentant people that are trying to serve God. You've got unrepentant Christians, let me say it that way, that are trying to serve God. They're living in rebellion in their life. They're not listening to the voice of God. They've got an idea of what would be great and what would be wonderful and what I should do for God. And God is saying, but you must first do this before you can get to that. But we don't want to hear that. So we want to go from first base to home base without going through the bases, without the process. We want to quickly and instantly be in that place. And so we take the shortcuts. Are you with me? Well, I don't like that church because they didn't let me teach Sunday school. They'd been there 2 days, you know. They're quenching the spirit because they didn't let me prophesy. You know, so often what it amounts to is I want to be noticed. I want to be important. I want to be recognized. I want people to look up at me and say, wow, aren't you something? Come on. How many know that's the way down? That's not the way up. You may have ability. You may have talents. You may have an anointing. But there is a time and a season. There is a maturing process that God takes you through to prepare you for the work, the greater work He wants to do. But if we're not willing to submit ourselves to God and allow that work to take place, folks, what will happen is either we won't do anything or we'll jump ahead of God and fall on our face until hopefully someday we learn that I'm going to have to submit myself to God, just like He said. I'm going to have to lay down my plans, my agenda, what I think is right, and say, God, what do you say is right? You don't know why? Because every man's way is right in his own eyes. Come on, we're all right, aren't we? How come nobody else sees it? You know, you got to be really careful when all of a sudden everybody else around you is wrong and broken and something's not right about them. You're in trouble then. We give to God the sacrifice of our bodies, of our praise, of our works, and of our possessions. In Hebrews 13 and 16 it says, but do not forget to do good. That means to serve others and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The sacrifice of service. Paul speaks of his ministry as he was a minister and apostle to the Gentiles. He said that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ, Romans 15 and verse 16, to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Or the sacrifice, really, he's talking about a sacrifice, sanctified or set apart by the Holy Spirit. So what are we passionate about? What motivates us? What brings you a life? What really fills you? What satisfies you? What completes you? You know, so often we're trying to find completion in the wrong places. And even when we achieve the things that we thought we wanted, once you get there, you find it's still empty. The only thing, I want you to hear this, that will really satisfy your soul, that will complete you, is to first of all hear the voice of the Lord. His voice. And by hearing and doing what God says, you will find that that will satisfy you like nothing else. It will complete you like nothing else. We talked about Peter and the revelation that he received by the Holy Spirit of who Jesus was. The greatest question anybody could ask, but who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, blessed are you, son of John. You know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father. This was a revelation from God. That very word that he received, amen, was a right now word that the Holy Spirit spoke into his spirit. He gave him a revelation or an understanding. And he says, upon this rock or foundation, I will build my church. What is that foundation? His word is the foundation. His word is Christ Jesus. He is the foundation of the church. There is no other foundation that can be laid, but that cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And we as living stones are being formed, amen, to him. And building and being built up as a holy habitation of God in the Spirit. A holy building. A body on the earth that represents him. And so, the word of the Lord is life to us. We need to hear the voice of God. And the voice of God will tell you at times in your life to do something that you may not want to do. I don't know about you, but when I've given sacrificially, I haven't always done it cheerfully. I've really tried to, but I've done it sometimes where it's like, it's really hurting to do this. But God sees that. God will honor those who honor him. Those who do what he tells them to do, even if it doesn't make logical sense, God will bless you. He will honor you because you were willing to trust in his word, his voice spoken to you. You can build your life on sand, or you can build your life on what the Lord has taught us. Amen. The word of the Lord. And so that foundation remains. God's word remains. It is forever settled in heaven. What God speaks is forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And it's the voice of God, the voice of truth, that is the foundation upon which our life can be built. And when we hear His voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, He will say, "This is the way, walk in it." And if we walk in the truth, in the way that God establishes for us, even if it doesn't make logical sense, if you're willing to trust God with your future and your agenda and your days, God will make your way prosperous. He will release His shalom, His perfect peace in your life, His completing peace. I've discovered that if I want the glory of God, I have to pray. I have to praise. I have to worship. I have to draw near. If you want the glory of God, you got to take time in His presence. You've got to invest. Hello. Amen. You've got to seed the clouds. You've got to lift up your praises. And as together, as we lift up the incense of prayer and praise in the house together as a body, how many know that the more our hearts are really in tune with drawing near to God and giving to God a pure offering out of love and gratitude for His goodness in our lives, when our hearts are united together in one accord and there is a pure sacrifice of praise going towards heaven, amen, where we're not willing just to sing a few songs and shut it down and let's get out of here. No, we're willing to stay, amen, and go the extra mile because we want more. And you'll discover that when you begin to sacrifice praise and give God praise and give God glory and wait on Him and spend some time with Him, hallelujah, and quit get this microwave mentality out of your head that everything's going to be instant right now, and understand that it's a process and God is equipping and strengthening and positioning you and I for the greater glory that He wants to pour into us. But we've got to get into position and wait on the Lord and be willing to pay the price. Amen. For the glory of God in our lives that will bring greater glory to the Father. Amen. That will produce much fruit in the earth. The church has gotten away from the altar. The church has gotten away from the passion and the sacrifice and the willingness to go the extra mile, where people would spend time, hours sometimes at the altar, crying out to God in prayer and worship and just being blasted in the glory and hallelujah. And you didn't want to go home, and you might have been there to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and you had to get up in a couple hours and go to work, but you were so high on Jesus, you just like skipped into work, and you weren't all burnt out and tired. You were like, when can I go back? That's being in love with God. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, we're under an open heaven right now. The heavens are open. Hallelujah. The way into the Most Holy is open. Jesus paid the price, paved the way, opened it up for us. But we've got to offer ourselves and give of ourselves, amen, to seek the Lord. And the early church, when they were under persecution, they got together and they prayed. They sought the Lord. How many know they didn't just do it, "Now I lay me down to sleep" prayer? They prayed, they sought the Lord. And the place where they were assembled was shaken. Amen? How many know the church needs a shaking? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they didn't have to go out and work themselves up to talk to people about Jesus. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He just pours out of you. We need to be people of the overflow. Out of the overflow we live, we move. Amen. Hallelujah. The problem with the church is it's so powerless because we don't take any time to seek God, to draw near to Him, because people are in a hurry. And if we spend too much time, people will get upset and they'll walk out of your church. Let them walk out. I want God. How about you? Yeah. You know, if people have some place to go, that's okay. We bless them and be blessed. I'm serious. There's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no condemnation here. But do we have a heart that's passionate really for God, for His presence? See, what we're trying to do is we're trying to somehow make people feel guilty. We're trying to manipulate their emotions. Well, nobody wants to do anything around here, so we'll make them feel guilty. Maybe then they'll do something. Nobody wants to come down the altar, so we'll manipulate their emotions so they'll come down the altar and we say, oh, we had a great altar call. Nobody was touched. They just did it because they thought that's what you wanted to do. But folks, when God starts to touch our hearts and God, and we have a heart that is set to seek Him, to seek His very presence, amen? Not to seek His hand, just to hand out, God, give me this, God, give me that. It's like, God, give me You. I want You. I want to hear You. I want to know You. Your voice is life to me. If I don't hear Your voice, I'm walking around in the dark. I really don't know what I'm doing. I may be doing a lot of good things, but they may be the wrong things. I want to do the right thing. And the only way you're going to do the right thing is to hear His voice, to know His voice, because you took the time to seek Him. Oh, God, help us. And then we discover that when our hearts are filled with love, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's not a difficult thing. It's not a hard thing. We discover that Jesus was right when He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's a joyful thing. I enjoy the Lord. Do you? I like serving Jesus. It's fun. It is fun to serve Jesus. Even if people don't like you, it's still fun. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And it's the joy of the Lord that rises. Folks, I don't get bent out of shape because they make little comments about, you know, because you love Jesus. You know what? I'm in another place. I'm shut in with God in a secret place. Amen? Come on. God wants us to come up into that place. Yeah. Come up higher. Worship, worship, draw near, praise Him, seek Him, call on Him, love on Him, listen for His voice. And what happens is when you and I are being embraced by Him and the glory and the presence of God is being shed abroad in our hearts, amen, this agape, this awesome love of God is in us, then all of a sudden we start to say, like Isaiah, you're my Lord. Send me. Lord, what can I do for You? I've discovered if people will just seek God, that you don't have to make them feel guilty. You don't have to manipulate them to serve God. If you have a church where they seek God, people will automatically, amen, that gift of God within them will be stirred up. And then they'll come up and say, I want to teach Sunday school. You know, I want to start a ministry. I want to do this for Jesus. I want to do that for Jesus. You know what? I want to tell people about Jesus. I say this often, but if we're just splashing around in the kiddie pool, if you will, just dabbling with the things of God, that's what you'll get. Oh, that felt good. I got some goosebumps Sunday. Did you? Yeah, I got some real big goosebumps Sunday morning. Okay. What's the fruit? But if we're willing to go deep and to go all the way, to dive in, are you with, into the deep end, then it's no longer you and I controlling everything and we're just dabbling over here and dabbling over there. It's like now my whole life is consumed with the love of God and there's such a passion burning in me, such a fire in me that I can't help but love others. I can't help but want to make Jesus famous. It's no longer, you know, I don't care what people think about me. I care what they think about Jesus and I want to make Him famous. Because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts. You know, you and I are no different than Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, you know, David, all these great men of God we read about, Ezekiel. They were just like you and I. They were just people. But the glory of God was upon them. That made the difference. And you know the church needs to return to the altar of sacrifice. There's an old hymn that we used to sing, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You will only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when you offer Him your body and soul. The whole offering. God's not asking for leftovers. He's not asking for spare change. He said, give me your all. All's a big word, but all is what it requires. And when you give Him your all, you'll discover how amazing and how gracious and how good and how wonderful and how loving and how desirable and how passionate He is. Amen?
Amen.
And you want to serve God. You don't have to conjure it up. You just want to. As we say, you get to serve Him. I don't have to, I get to. So if we want the glory of God, it's going to require the sacrifice. Folks, there was another group out there with us this last weekend across the way, a Baptist church. And yeah, they had some different ways about them, some different understandings about the word. But fundamentally, they're with us. They're the same. They're brothers and sisters. And you know what? Whether they believe in tongues or not, they were out there telling people about the love of God. And they were telling people as to how they can be saved. You know what? I commend them for that. How many know that it requires a sacrifice for people to get out there and engage the public? But you'll find that whatever you do for God, you never regret it.
Amen.
You'll find that whatever you invest yourself into, whatever you give yourself to do for God in obedience to His voice, it'll always be such a joy. Oh, the thought sometimes of going here. I remember the first time God told me, I want you to go and do prison ministry. And I was thinking, I don't know if I want to go to prison. You know, I almost ended up there a few times myself, but I was like, I don't know if I want to go there. But the Lord kept just kind of, you know, how He nudges you. He just says, I want you to take what I've given you and I want you to share it. And so finally I said, okay, Lord. And we got in there and I had an old dilapidated 12 string guitar and I bring my 12 string in there and I had worked with another brother who had a very prophetic mantle in his life. And together it was just like there was this teamwork that was going on that was amazing, because that the worship would really kind of set things up for the prophetic, you know, to operate. And I want to tell you, I had the most awesome times, I think, ever in the Spirit in that context. And I have discovered that those guys in that place, many of them are more free there than they are out here.
Amen.
Than the people are out here. Because there's a hunger. There's a desperation. And their hearts are crying out for, I've tried this. I've failed. I've tried and I've failed. I need someone bigger than me. I need something greater than me. I can't do it anymore. And that's the place where there's an opening and there's an open heart. And God will fill the open heart. And so when you come there, it's like the glory, the God, they just draw the anointing right out of you. Whew. And we had awesome times that God started moving in such power that the JWs and the Wiccans and the rest of them were emptying out and they were coming into our meetings. The guys were walking around with the Bibles and having Bible studies in the yard, and the guards were saying, we don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it because it's making a difference. We're saying it's not us, it's Jesus. Amen. But we would pray. We would sit out in the car and we'd rock heaven for about an hour before we went in, and we went in glowing. You know, we were just, we didn't care. But when we went in, we just loved, you know, and just made ourselves available, and we saw God move. Chuck has been a part of that with me. He was actually part of that for a while. But man, we'd raise the roof off that room, you know, where we're at. praising God, hallelujah. Black, white, purple, everybody there, you know. We were just in love with Jesus. God is not a respecter of persons. For God so loved the world. Aren't you glad that He loves you and me? Yes. It was hard for me to get a hold of that, you know, for quite some time. How can God love me? Because we know ourselves too well. But He does. And He wants to reveal His love to us. But we've got to come before Him. Seek, and you'll find. Seeking requires effort. Seeking requires sacrifice. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. How many know it's time to seek the Lord? Amen. It's time to return. To go back to the altar. The altar speaks of sacrifice. A willingness to lay down my life, my agenda, my future, my plans, that I might take up my cross and follow after Jesus. And I've discovered that, you know, there's just nothing that compares to serving the King. Hallelujah. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That means I need to draw near to God and then He will draw near to me.